Heavenly Father, open our minds that we might understand the Scriptures, and grant that we might be given a fresh understanding and vision of the glorious ascension of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. During this past week, as I've been preparing this sermon for Ascension Sunday, I have frequently thought of the Ascension Day practices when I was first ordained. And actually, I was first ordained exactly 28 years ago today. And I served as a curate for 4 years at St. Peter's, Calgary. And Ascension was always a colorful affair. I was in charge of filling dozens upon dozens of balloons with helium. The balloons were given to the children of the Sunday school, who were invited to attach labels to the balloons on which they had written prayers of thanksgiving or intercession. During the service, we learned about the Ascension, which took place 40 days after Easter, when Jesus, in plain sight of his disciples, ascended bodily into the heavens and into the fullness of God's presence. And then following the service, the children and the leaders, all being watched by the rest of the congregation because it was so cool, they would walk into the church parking lot and they'd release the balloons. And as we watched the multicolored balloons soaring away over southwest Calgary, our hearts lifted and we thought of our Lord and of what the Book of Common Prayer calls His glorious ascension. Now, even back in the 80s, we had an idea that releasing all those balloons wasn't all that good for the environment. And so we did stop that practice while I was still on staff. I still miss it, though. And that's why yesterday I just had to buy this bouquet of balloons for Ascension Sunday. It was just one of those, you know, spur-of-the-moment purchases. And I like the balloons because they remind me of two essential things about the Ascension. Actually, I should say, I was sort of tempted. I thought, maybe I could release them in the church. But who knows how long they'd be up on the ceiling. And I think the verger would kill me. Am I? Yes, he's nodding. He would. But it's sort of a nice idea. I don't know. But, you know, I like the balloons. They remind me of two essential things about the Ascension. First is that the ascension of our Lord Jesus is a profoundly important event in the saving actions of God in Christ, and that Christians should be aware of the importance of the ascension and should celebrate it accordingly. So, you know, the balloons are celebratory. They remind us that this is an important occasion. After all, both the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed specifically mention the ascension of Jesus as being one of the central actions in Jesus' ministry of salvation to the world. You know, the creeds talk about the birth of Christ, the incarnation. They talk about his death, his resurrection, and his glorious ascension. So second, the other essential thing about the ascension is this, that it is a deeply joyful event. And, you know, what's more joyful than a bunch of balloons? If these colorful balloons make any of us smile, that's good. Because the thought of the ascension should make us smile. So since these balloons remind us both of the importance and of the joyfulness of the ascension, I propose to examine 5 important and joyful things about the reality of the ascension and what it teaches us about Jesus. Sorry, I have to say it again. I can't read my own writing. I want to look at 5 important and joyful things that the reality of the ascension teaches us about Jesus. So here's number one, the first. The first important and joyful thing that the ascension teaches us is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's the first creed in the Christian church, by the way. It's right there in Scripture. At first glance, one would assume that the ascension would be a sad event because, well, Jesus goes away. He's no longer physically present with the disciples the way he was before. And such a view sees the ascension as being primarily a departure, a kind of an absence. But the biblical description does not focus on ascension as a departure, but rather it focuses on ascension in a more royal sense. in the manner of saying that someone has ascended to the throne. That's the kind of ascension it's talking about. For as the Messiah or the true King of Israel ascends to heaven, royal language is used, and a royal understanding of the ascension is quite an appropriate way of looking at it. In Acts chapter 1, we are told that as Jesus ascends, he is hidden or obscured by a cloud. Now, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, a description of a cloud usually is a sign of the presence of the holiness of God. For example, what's on Mount Sinai when Moses receives the law? It's a cloud. Or there's a cloud that covers the Temple of Solomon when it is dedicated, when it is consecrated, and a cloud covers the temple. There are many such examples in the New Testament. Jesus at the Transfiguration on the mountaintop, a cloud covers him. And such a cloud at the ascension indicates that at the ascension, Jesus is entering into the true Holy of Holies, which is found in the actual presence of God. He is, if you like, leaving our earthly dimension and entering into the fullness of God's dimension. He is, as the Bible says, now enthroned on the right-hand side of the Father. He has ascended to a throne, no less than the throne of God. Jesus is Lord. And this all means that Jesus is fully restored to his place in the Godhead, and that we can come to him in prayer any time or any place. Jesus is now Lord of heaven and Lord of earth. He is Lord of the present and the future. The ascension marks the end of Jesus' earthly ministry and marks the beginning of a new role in which Jesus is the advocate and intercessor for fallen and sinful humanity. In other words, he is your advocate and my advocate in the very fullness of the Godhead. No longer limited by time and space as he was in his earthly ministry and even during the 40 days of his resurrection appearances. It is because of his ascension that we can joyfully and confidently say, Jesus is Lord. So that's the first. Here's number two. The second important and joyful thing that the ascension teaches us is that Jesus is preparing a place for us. One of the extraordinary things about the ascension is that the Bible does not describe the soul of Jesus entering heaven while his body remains on earth. No. Instead, Jesus is described as entering heaven in a human body. I mean, it's extraordinary. Who would have thought of such a thing? He enters heaven in a human body. Now, yes, his body is glorified. It is the immortal body of the resurrection. But it is still very much a human body. In Luke 24, verses 39 and 40, the risen Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. So it's truly him. Those in parish council remember this, because I mentioned it this past Tuesday, that it's sometimes said that there are five man-made or human-made objects in heaven. And those objects, those man-made things, would be the wounds and the hands and the feet and the side of Christ. Dreadful things that in Christ have become signs of glory and the means of our salvation, and they are now glorified and present in heaven. At the ascension, Jesus enters heaven and the fullness of the Godhead as a human being, and he promises us in John 14 this wonderful thing. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Because Jesus is there, heaven will not be an alien place to us. Because of the ascension, the humanity of Jesus has been taken into heaven, and we will find that a place has been prepared there for us by one who most wonderfully is one of us. So that was number two. Here's number three. The third important and joyful thing that the ascension teaches us is that Jesus' ascension is the precondition for the sending of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Gospels, it is made clear that the Holy Spirit will not be given until the departure of the Messiah. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus commands the disciples to go to Jerusalem in order to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. However, this gift will not come until after the ascension. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, we hear a similar message when Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you." It is because of the ascension that a channel has been made for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all of God's people. That's number three. Here's number four. The fourth important and joyful thing that the ascension teaches us is that in the ascension, Jesus calls us to be part of God's story. He calls us to be part of God's story. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells the disciples the purpose for the sending of the Holy Spirit. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After the ascension of Jesus, we who are his disciples will be called on to be the physical presence of Jesus in the world. Isn't that extraordinary? Jesus is fully now in the Godhead. He has ascended, and we are here as a physical presence empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's why St. Paul calls the Christian church the body of Christ. And as Christ's physical body on earth, we have been given the responsibility of witnessing to the love of God as revealed through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. It is through God's people that the good news of Jesus Christ is shared and has been shared as Jesus prophesied. Again, Jesus said in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here we are, at the ends of the earth. We're in a place unknown to the Judeans of Jesus' time. We're speaking a language, English, that didn't even exist then. To them, this would seem the very ends of the earth. And here we are. And because of Jesus' ascension, we are now part of God's story. We are called to be witnesses to those around us. And we have been called to be vessels of God's love and forgiveness to all. As others have shared the good news of God in Christ Jesus to us, we are called to pass it on in word and deed and to be part of the story, the great story. So finally, number five. The fifth important and joyful thing that the ascension teaches us is that Jesus will return. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, as the disciples watch the ascension of Jesus, and it's quite an image, they're gazing into the sky, and they're suddenly startled by two angelic figures who challenge them by saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Now the phrase, "he will come back in the same way you saw him go into heaven," has been the subject of much debate. It probably refers to the fact that at the ascension, Jesus ascended into the clouds in glory as Lord. And when Jesus returns, he will also be in glory, and we will see him as he truly is. For, of course, this all refers to the second coming. The second coming is a profoundly joyful teaching, for it confirms that our lives, and indeed all creation, has a goal and a purpose. We live in the joy and anticipation of the second coming, when all of God's people will be clothed with resurrection bodies. That will be the day when heaven and earth will be made new and will become one under the lordship of Christ. And so I think that these balloons have done their job this morning, for they have reminded us of five important and joyful things about the ascension. One, Jesus is Lord. Two, Jesus is preparing a place for us. Three, Jesus' ascension paved the way for the sending of the Holy Spirit. Four, Jesus calls us to be part of the story. And five, Jesus will return. I think that's worth springing for some balloons. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.